Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
If you've not had our Hey Man Ale, Mike made his way last night over to Kroger. Matter of fact, I got this text. I didn't even realize it. I put my phone down. I had stopped eating dinner. I was so upset. And you went over to the big Kroger off Peachtree. Is it Peachtree Industrial?
Yeah, man, just inside the Brookhaven line. If you're coming over to Cab County, going north on Peachtree Industrial, it's the mother of all Krogers. And I literally had to drop breadcrumbs. I got lost. And I found my way over to where, like, they have the craft section. And they got a bunch of fantastic local brews on draft, including Arconi Brewing, Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale. So go grab yourself some 64-ounce growlers, why don't you? In cans everywhere, September 1st.
Can't wait. Hey, guys, coming up less than 20 minutes, we're going to talk to Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, friend of the show, FOS. And we'll get his take on what went down last night. And, again, old school, new school approach. It doesn't matter. We've kind of talked about this topic in many ways today. The one thing that is a positive before we get into some Falcon discussion is that Ronald Acuña is back in the lineup. The CT scan, Mike, on the elbow, normal. The x-rays last night, normal. So just, you know, now you go, all right.
Right. Dodged a bullet more ways than one.
No doubt. And so let's hope he steps back in there and keeps playing. You read a quote from Dave O'Brien saying he's going to continue to play the way he's been playing.
Yeah, we'll save that when we talk to Smoltz. But in essence, talking about playing with that sort of, you know, sense of joy and just having fun. The kid's a 20-year-old in the show, and he's raking. You know, and we've had a long discussion today about what's right, what's wrong, what's old school, what needs to go in the toilet. That's you know, there's no point in the sport. But love to get John Smoltz, who's an old school guy, his take coming up at 5:20 is part of the big story.
All right, now as we get into the Falcons, yesterday we talked a lot about Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dan Quinn was also quoted about this because he was asked, our head football coach, in regards to, is this now going to become bulletin board material? You heard from Matt Ryan. Bo just played a soundbite. He was on the Dan Patrick Show this morning. Matt Ryan basically diffusing it, saying, listen, I've been playing 11 years, plan to win. You know, I hear guys talk trash all the time. I just keep it moving. Here's what Coach Quinn had to say in regards to whether or not you take this Jalen Ramsey comment, Mike, or two about the Falcons or Matt Ryan, and you put it up. Now, again, we have a preseason game with them. The next time we could possibly see them guys would be a Super Bowl. All right? I mean, we're going to play them in the preseason. We don't have them during the regular season, and depending on how things play out in the playoffs, that would be the next time. But here is Coach Quinn on the Ramsey comments.
What we do, it's about us, how we play, our attitude, our style. And so the bulletin board material, you can throw to somebody else. But for us, it's about our team, our way that we go. So we don't have to wait on anybody else to get us real pumped up to play well. Like, we're already ready to rock.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise there. Nobody wants to, you know, tackle this one. Look, you got a preseason game against Jacksonville. Don't even know if Jalen Ramsey will play in that one. Normally, this is the game when the starters go a little bit deeper, in some cases into the third quarter, but that's down in Jacksonville. I know, because immediately yesterday, Carl, we had a bunch of fans hitting us up, Falcon fans on Twitter, go, oh, it's on! I go, no, not really. They don't want any part of this. But I would love to see someone punch him in the face, but I just don't think this is going to be the time or the place when it comes to Jalen Ramsey.
No. How about we execute one drive? How about
right.
that?
Now, it would be fun, our starters against their starters, of which he is one, and whether it's Julio, Sanu, or Calvin Ridley schooling his butt and getting a big play, but the dude is money. He's a pro bowler. He's been a star at every level he's played, and in that Florida State tradition of big-mouth defensive backs, he is one of them.
Now, I had one guy who hit us up named Chris who hit us up on Twitter and said, Dukes and Bell. The direct quote, can Matt just be gutter once?
It's not his style,
in
man.
His response to something like this. None of the quarterbacks around the league that have been asked about this have been gutter. Seriously. I mean, Eli Manning went, who? You had Josh Allen get caught off guard yesterday and go, I don't even know the guy. I'm worried about my team. This is the way, I know, guys, I feel you, but this is the way you handle it. I mean, what do you want Matt to again, rip his shirt off? Who the hell said it? I mean, is that what you want him to do?
Ben Roethlisberger, meanwhile, he's in the concussion protocol. Ben, what's your thoughts on Jalen Ramsey? There's no business like show. I mean, a few more weeks. But no, in the case, and I apologize for making fun of that. But as far as the you know, the quarterbacks out there, guys who's putting the work in, the teams that play him this year, they you know what? Do something, like Willie Taggart says down in Tally. Do something if you don't like the way it's going down,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Go put the feet to the fire. Let's see a go route on the guy. See what he's got.
All right, as we get into what we expect tomorrow in this second preseason game, I expect better. I expect us to play better. By the way, pregame starting at 5, kickoff at 7 tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But, Mike, when you talk about the roster, there are some spots that are up for grabs. We know that. And Dan Quinn said that's why they continued that evaluation process last week instead of leaving the first team out there. There's a plan when you go into these games to get guys a certain amount of snaps and you want to see certain players for a length of time. I will tell you this, though. Do you think all eyes are going to be on a guy named Duke Riley tomorrow when this thing starts? Because people are wondering now, how does he respond after last week when most people felt like he did not have a great performance?
I mean, there's really no real big storylines, save for what Jalen Ramsey just said, anything involving the Falcons. We talked about Duke because we thought we saw some improvement, you know, in practice and the stuff we got to see before it was closed to the media and the fans. But he's got to be better in space, better in pass coverage, better in open field. He still at times, and the problem was the plays were so obvious. I mean, the most casual fan could see him looking pretty awful in that Jets game, albeit a meaningless preseason game.
Now, again, we have not heard, and I'm looking at Bo Morgan, whether or not Julio is going to play tomorrow. Is that correct? We have not heard anything from the Falcons as of yet?
I haven't seen anything, but I mean, you know, there's rumors out there that he will, and then, you know, it was out there. Okay. Well, it was out there until, what was it, Friday night last week? I think it was like right around 5-something when we found out he wouldn't. So,
right. D. Orlando Ledbetter in the AJC. Thanks, guys. He was saying basically get your $2 hot dogs quick and then get in the seats if you want to see the Julio if he's going to be out
I'll
there.
I'll take two.
Yeah, so get your concessions. And again, Falcon fans, I'm not going to scold anybody for being late to a preseason game, but if you do want to see Julio or free, if there's any chance, it will be in that first series.
Yeah, and that's the point I'm making. And again, no reason to say whether he will or won't anytime soon, but we wondered because, again, they did not play in that first preseason game. If they don't play for whatever reason tomorrow, my guess, Mike, is – and what did he get last year? What did he get? 4 snaps is what we remember. I think we were talking about this.
Yeah, because of the injuries and then being held back. Yeah.
So if they don't tomorrow, and we'll hopefully know more tomorrow about this, and we'll talk about it leading up to the pregame show at 5. But for sure, in that third preseason game, get him some snaps, get him some reps, and then get him out of there. I think the one thing – and you've heard Matt Ryan even talk about this – you know, nobody hits the quarterback, right? All off season. It's don't touch the quarterback. Well, you're going to get touched in the season. And you know, I'm not saying you want to go out there and feel that, but you do want to get out there and as a running back, maybe take a lick or so, Mike. You know, as a running as a wide receiver, right. Get out there and kind of feel it. Doesn't mean you have to be out there 3 or 4 series, but I do think that's what guys are looking
well,
for.
Well, we yelled all offseason during the you know, the OTAs and the missed minicamp that we want to see that rhythm with Julio. And, like, the most important thing is, and Julio talked about it with the media last week, healthiest he's been. So I think for Falcon fans, don't mess with a good thing, but you still there is a part of you that wants to see Sark, he, Matt, find that rhythm, right?
No doubt.
And we could talk, you know, Randy Mack, the player's advocate, says, just roll the balls out on Labor Day, but we'll see, because last year, in Sark's own words, there was a bit of a disconnect, and the offense went backwards. And by the way, Jalen Ramsey, he goes, his argument, well, Shanahan made Matt Ryan. Matt was average, and he had another bad year. How do you got Julio to have such a bad year? Which isn't something that Falcon fans haven't said themselves from time to time.
No,
we know he's an MVP, but he's got to get back to that level.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the question about the bulletin board material was asked. I mean, I don't think Matt needs motivation. I don't think Julio needs more motivation. You know what the motivation is? Go watch that fourth down play against the Eagles last year.
Right.
That's your motivation.
They've all talked about red zone. Matt talked to us about it. Julio talked to the media about it. And so Jalen Ramsey is just basically saying what other people have already had to address. There's too much talent for this team to score so few points, period.
Now, you were talking about, from another aspect of the NFL, what's going on with Monday Night Football?
Well, it's a new look for Monday Night Football. New announcers, Jason Witten. I've never heard him speak outside of small, you know, segments and interviews.
He's well-spoken. Jason's a good guy. I did some stuff back with him when he first got with the Cowboys years ago. And he's always been like a in-the-community, you know, outspoken as far as being in the media kind of guy, Mike. He's never shied away from it. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be able to translate these games. You know, we didn't know what Romo was going to be. found myself liking him. I'm curious to see what Witten is, but I will tell you, he does have a big personality.
Now, is it Joe Testator who's got the Monday night gig?
It is.
All right, and Jason Witten. So you got, you know, Joe, a guy who likes to use dramatic pauses. Remember when they beat Notre Dame? Texas is back. We like Joe. We've had Joe on this show.
I remember. It was an overtime game.
Joe likes to dangle his participles. But anyway, so that's your new team. So, though, for the casual fan, it might be maybe some guys you're not that familiar with unless you're a college football fan and you know Jason Witten. ESPN working on bringing Chris Berman.
What?
Yeah. Boomer.
Why? What's up? Ratings?
I guess they feel that there's a part of the population out there that misses Boomer, that watched. And look, he was a part of ESPN's enormous growth from the 70s, late 70s all the way through. But Boomer, apparently, in some facet, maybe a part of the pregame or have him on the panel or something. I don't watch any of the ESPN pregame. I mean, it's just, it looks, they made what was one of the biggest games of the week as a kid seem so average lately. You know, and that goes back to Sean McDonough. But anyway, they're trying to pump some life into it, and maybe they hope that Boomer can do that for some folks.
Okay. Interesting. You're saying you wouldn't pay a 2 cents worth
of
attention.
Well, I mean, but you and I, we're different. We work, and all we do is watch sports. Yeah. So I just need the game. I don't need I don't watch pregame during the weekend because right now we've talked about all the major storylines and all the big games all week.
I mean, for me, you're right. That's the hard part.
There are fans that love the guy.
I mean, a guy that works a lot or, a woman, whatever the situation may be, that's your only time to kind of maybe get caught up on what's going on before the game starts. That's why these pregame shows still exist. Plus, they make a lot of money off of them.
I just think, because plus if you're playing fantasy football, you know everything that's going on. That's one thing good or bad about fantasy football for the fan. You know all the injuries. You know the storylines. You know who's getting the touches. You know who's making things happen and who isn't. But ESPN reportedly trying to bring Chris Berman back to the NFL.
Best thing that I enjoyed about Chris, and I told him this at one point, was him and Tom Jackson.
Loved it.
And I'm not talking about like the last few years. I'm going back to the original prime time when they used to come on after the games on Sunday, and it was just the highlights, the packages. It was great. And those two vibe, man. That was the best thing that I loved about what he did.
But we also know from people who work at ESPN, there are people who despise, they loathe Chris Berman.
Sure.
And it is kind of funny. And sometimes, I'm not going to name SportsCenter hosts, but sometimes when you'd see the Boomer segment when he'd give you his picks, you could see the total disdain in either throwing to or coming out of that video package. But anyway, he might be back in the mix. We'll see.
All right. By the way, our Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's, as always.
A large three-topping pizza, $7.99. It's carry-out only. It's good every night of the week. And remember, guys, be careful when you're driving home. Those potholes will ruin a pizza.
They will. And there are games tonight, by the way, if you want Domino's, some preseason action. Mm-hmm. So if you want to order Domino's. Let's give you a chance to win some money so you can order.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
First things first. First. F-I-R-S-T.
Get to the ball game by the first inning. First, guys. First, to text that to 72881. First, the last shall be first. But not today. You've got to text in, guys, to make sure you win that grand. First goes to 72881.
All right. If you didn't see the quote last night after the game or the interview, and I don't know if many of you did, Jose Urena was saying this after he hit, all right, Ronald Acuna. Yeah, that was bad because even after I hit him, Mike, I said, hey, are you okay? And that means that I didn't want to hit him on purpose. He thinks I did it on purpose and they wanted me to do something. He just kept walking with his head down. But a couple of those people and the coaches, they tried to jump in and get close. And I tried to keep my mind on the game.
You're lying like a rug, dude. You and your phony skipper, Don Mattingly, won't get in the Hall of Fame. Not on my watch. Well, you got the vote. They don't give guys like me a vote.
I'm not voting.
The guy who got to the Hall of Fame is John Smoltz, and he's going to join us next. And he's old school. We'll get his take on the Acuna beating and what he thinks about the Bravos.
Yep. We've been talking about it all day, and we thought, you know what? Why don't we get a Hall of Famer on? Yeah, how about John Smoltz? Because he joins us right now on the Wade Ford .com hotline. And Smoltz, man, first of all, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. We really appreciate it. But, dude, last night, I mean, Atlanta Braves fans were hot after Acuna gets hit, and there's so many things that people are talking about. First and foremost, from your experience, was this intentional, and did it come from Don Mattingly? Do you think he sent the order?
No way. This was just a rogue pitcher. obviously not knowing how to do whatever he was trying to do. And it's a bad look. He's going to get suspended. It's a young game. And when you have a young game, you don't know how to do things properly. And that is something that I don't think the Marlins will do this. But if they thought it was as egregious or off the, you know, where they wanted that to happen, then I would send them down. Personally, I would send them down to the minors. If they thought it was that bad and this was not something that they called for or wanted to have happen, then he should pay the punishment of being sent down. But to do it like he did, luckily, you know, it didn't create, like it wasn't near the head. But to do that on the first pitch, and really, honestly, for the umpires to not recognize it right away was a little puzzling for me. That's probably why Snitker was losing his mind. And then they eventually got the call right and threw him out of the game. But it's unfortunate that a young pitcher decides to do something, and he doesn't have the greatest command anyways. So to throw it that hard and to hit him on the first pitch, not a good look. If you're just trying to, if you're trying to get him off the dish and you're trying to throw inside, throw a slider first. You know, use your. This is just the guy that doesn't understand.
It is Hall of Famer John Smoltz with us, John. The reason we thought, and I was adamant, I thought for sure that Don Mattingly gave the instructions, how sheepishly he answered the post-game questions about it. And it has happened before in baseball where the skipper does get with you. Does it not happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons it can happen, way more than what was going on with, you know, just hitting home runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game has gone, like I said, super young, and everyone wants to see the animation. They want to see people, you know, show people up, and why do we have such a big problem? I would ask the pitchers to start getting in the fray and start doing demonstrative stuff on the mound then, because it's only one-sided, and people have a hard time when someone gets hit, when a batter is pimping it or doing something at the plate. Then the pitchers need to just start creating some mock dances when they strike him out. But in this instance, you know, a guy's super hot. He's beating up your team. You're in last place. It's not a good look. And you know what? I will give him one. Here's the credit I will give him. He's a National League pitcher, and he's coming up to the plate. So at some point, he's going to wear it. And he better know it and be prepared for it. And the element of surprise is when it's best. Baseball has a long memory. It used to. Players who played the game and knew how to do things the right way don't incite more violence, more brawls. So what they do is the veteran guys used to know how to do it, and today you're at the mercy of someone not knowing how to do it.
It is Hall of Famer John Smoltz joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I saw Snitker leading the charge. Obviously, Ender Inciarte jumps over the, you know, the dugout fence there, and he's running out there. But I got to tell you, John, I was a little like, where's everybody else? You know, and I just thought that the reaction from the Braves should have been a little bit more. And I'm talking about from the players. What did you see there, and what's been your experience when these things happen?
Yeah, I think everyone was surprised. You know, I didn't see it live, so I saw the replays in the post game. I think you're surprised because I don't think anybody in the world thought that was even a reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's – you saw the catcher for the Marlins. He was like, what in the world? And he wasn't – looked like he wasn't going to defend his pitcher, you know. And obviously it hurt. So, you know, Acuna wasn't going to be doing anything because he was dealing with a lot of pain. So – I just think everyone was surprised. You got the Marlins on the field. They weren't really rushing to anything because I'm sure they didn't know it was coming.
Right.
And you got a lone wolf. You know, basically the pitcher was out there, threw it as hard as he could, and had nothing but intent to hit him. And that's just stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. If you think you want to cool somebody, or you don't want him to hit a leadoff home run, throw some sliders. Make it look better. And you know what? I think everyone would have had an easier time, including Don Mattingly would have had an easier time if he threw the first pitch inside.
Right. John Smoltz with us, guys. Lead baseball analyst for Fox. You'll see him on the World Series with Joe Buck. He joins us here on the WadeFort.com hotline. John, the other thing is when you have a baseball, once you get the players on the field and we have a bench clearer, We were just hoping Eric Young would get to Urena, get hands on him. Then don't worry about Gausman and whatever he's going to do, because Snicker tells him no retaliation. We really can't trust the bullpen if Gauz loses and gets the gate.
Yeah, you have to win the game there. I know everyone was expecting you have to win the game. You're in too big of a situation. The Marlins have nothing to gain or lose by doing that. They don't really factor in. So you never want to fall prey to that anger and emotion. I mean, the old-time guys are the ones that were the most – they were the most – and you would expect that, because when something is way across the line, you're animated. You're fired up. You're gonna want to get to the guy. So in that situation, that they had to win the game. And the score was going to be the indicator, in my opinion, of whether something happened or not, if they got way behind or way up. But, see, you're looking at the Marlins lineup, and unfortunately – you know, from a star standpoint, I think it's better to wait for the pitcher to get at the plate and have to wear one himself. Mm. That's the only respect I'm going to give a National League. I think the American League is such a chicken league when it comes to pitchers,
right,
guys, because they never have to stand in the box.
Boom. You're right.
So one of their teammates is going to wear it, and when their teammates wear it too much, then you're going to get on your pitcher and say, right, enough's enough. So the game has tried to push that away from anything escalating to that point. But I promise you, if you know how to do it right, it ends quickly, everyone goes on their way, and it doesn't become this escalated every other series. Mm. You know, you're going to face these guys 18 times, and chances are you're going to face, unless he gets traded, you're going to face him again. So.
Right.
Smoltzy, you ever go rogue? You ever hit a dude because you just did? You wanted it?
Yes, and it ended up with an 8-game suspension and a brawl.
Who was it?
It really wasn't that I was trying to hit him. It was the Cangelosi game in Mets against the Mets.
Right.
Bases loaded, two outs. I hung an 0-2 slider to Ryan Thompson after we made three errors, loaded the bases up. I gave up a grand slam, and he absolutely took forever to get around the bases. I mean, he broke it down. And so I said, all right, you know what? I'm not going to last long enough in the game. That's going to knock me out of the game. I'm basically going to brush the next guy that comes to the plate. And I didn't look who right. was up. I just kind of – I put my head down. I got the ball. I put my head down. And then, unfortunately, Cangelosi stands 2 inches from the plate.
Mm.
And so I threw it inside. He turned into it, and he charged the mound. And you know, the rest is history. It becomes a cover of Sports Illustrated. Charlie O'Brien's got him. You know, I didn't try to do anything to ever hurt anybody. I think I have the least amount of hit batsmen per, like, over 3,000 innings. Mm. And when I hit Alex Arias in the famous Paul Byrd, Eddie Perez game, right, I got thrown out for that. And there was no warnings. That's my point. Like, Eddie got hit twice. I hit Alex Arias. He went to first. No big thing. Right. Call up umpire Jerry Meals at the time. Threw me out. That's when I threw him out of the game. We went toe-to-toe. I told him he had just incited a brawl, and, of course, the brawl comes later. So, yeah, it's just the timing of when I hit people just ended up getting me an 8. The longest suspension ever given to a pitcher at that time was 8 games because there was the rash of brawls.
I'm reading the New York Times article right now. Smoltz denies intent. Anyway, it is
hey,
just,
which gets back to us saying
yes,
when guys go, well, he didn't mean to hit him, whatever.
It is John Smoltz with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the team, man. They're in first place, John. They made enough moves. You know, Gausman so far, 2 good starts here at SunTrust Park. Do you trust the pitching, though, down the stretch?
Well, you know, when I look at the team, I just covered the Phillies and the Red Sox. Of course, the Phillies split. That's kind of a big split for them. And, of course, the Red Sox are coming in to play the Braves. So you are who you're playing at the time, and you got to take care of it. So I think the Phillies' bullpen is a tick better than the Braves. I think the Braves' offense is a tick better than the Phillies. And the starting staff probably gets an edge a little bit with the Phillies just from the consistency of their arms. But to answer your question, I think they can't use 15 combinations down the stretch and expect it to work. So they're going to have somebody's going to have to settle in, and some unit's going to have to get hot for the Braves to be able to end up where they want to end up, because their offense is plenty good enough. The position players have done a great job. And now it's going to come down to those key innings late. And you've seen what's happened to the Washington Nationals, the blows that gives a team when you lose games like they've lost late, when their closer went down, the Washington Nationals haven't been the same. So if the Braves can get three guys hot in the pen, I don't see why there's any reason they cannot be fighting till the end. And those last 7 out of 11 games are going to be between the Phillies. And that right now, if you would have said that was going to be on the schedule, some of the most important games at the end of the year, I don't think anyone would have believed that both the teams would be in the mix. So hopefully that plays true. And selfishly for me, I hope it plays true because I've got the National League this year in the playoffs.
Nice.
I've yet to do a home game. I want to do a home playoff game. I've said that for a long time, and hopefully it happens.
I hear that.
Smoltz, real quick before we let you go. Dude, thank you again. We know you were out having some fun today, and you're taking some time out of your day to talk with us here on Dukes and Bell about this and our Braves. But what you're seeing from Acuña, man, I mean, you've seen a lot of great young players. Mike and I were talking about it the other day. He's 20. You know, you start looking at these numbers and the season he's having, it's been remarkable.
It has. He reminds me of Andrew Jones in every way you can imagine. Of course, Andrew, so much better outfielder, but not that much better where you can't say translate it into what Acuña can be.
Right.
Offensively, it's been an incredible first season. He has a unique way that he approaches the baseball and just his the way that he carries his hands and the ball that comes off the bat. And he's going to go through some stretches now. The pitchers are going to figure out some things. He's going to have to adjust. But it is unbelievable what an impact he's been. And it's not surprising. It's just what he's done lately is unbelievable because in the history of the game, it's not that easy. You just can't do that. So hopefully he's only going to miss a game or two. And he is a huge part of that offense. With Freddie Freeman, him, and what Markakis is doing, and, of course, Culberson, what can you say for him since he's come over? He's just been huge. I like what the Braves have done, and I also like that they didn't panic and forego the future to make so many moves that may not have panned out this year, and they didn't sacrifice the future. That's right. The most important part.
Holding on to Tukey and all the other family jewels. Hey, man, by the way, John, that rough looked really rough out in Colorado at the Senior Open, man.
Hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. Greatest experience I've ever been through. The learning that I will gain from that will be priceless. The humility is definitely part of it, and it won't be my last. So I can assure you of that.
Awesome.
Well, man, we appreciate you, dude. Thanks so much for jumping on. Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Talk to you soon, Smoltz.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good
cool
stuff.
Beans. That would be neat, John, calling a Braves playoff game. Fingers crossed on that.
No doubt. Hey, coming up, guys, we got another In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte. We will tell you what's going on with the lineup tonight. Acuña is in the lineup. And also more about Dabo Swinney's interview, which you'll hear at 6:20. Dabo was great today here on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, it's that time in the afternoon. We say, what's going on, Mike Conte? Top three at 6 coming up, guys. Big shout-out and thanks to John Smoltz kind of helping us break down some things and telling great stories as well. What you got working, man?
It's funny, by the way. There's like 3 parody accounts. Literally 3.
Now, by the way, if you missed this earlier today in the earlier segment of In Case You Missed It, we just got into a whole blue check mark conversation with Mike Conte and Mike Bell. Conte basically said that one of the things they told him he needed to do was, well, you need to have a parody account. So people have gone and created a parody account.
Yeah, and fortunately, I think these are friendly people who aren't going to, like, you know, tweet inflammatory things under my name, hopefully.
That's good.
But, yeah, so if you're listening, verified people. I mean, look, I had to send these guys. I'm not joking. To send these guys a copy of my driver's license, my birthday, create like weird logins and passwords and
I'm
everything
with you.
Like
trying
that.
To get verified is a real hassle. But there's guys with like not even like a quarter of the followers that we have, and they get verified.
I've seen people with way less than 1,000 followers get verified. But the reason
what does Twitter have against this? Well, me's obvious. What does Twitter have against you, Mike?
I don't know. But the whole genesis of all this we were talking about. A tweet that I put out last night that I think got misinterpreted about the whole Acuña thing. But, you know, I was thinking about it during the break.
Thinking about what, the tweet?
Well, no, just the reaction to it. Because there's another guy on Twitter who's been tweeting a lot today about you know, what Keith Hernandez said was not entirely wrong as far as how old school people look upon the situation. And I was looking at this guy's mentions, and it looked a lot like mine last night. People wanted to fight me. People were, like, threatening physical harm.
But what is this thing now on Twitter you and I have found where if they don't agree with you, you should be fired for that take.
Right. Or better, I'd like to punch you in the face, which is ironic because everyone was all in a huff last night because, oh, Urania tried to hurt Acuna.
Right.
But I want to punch you in the face. Like, doesn't that kind of...
I'm kind of defeating the purpose.
I just don't get that.
I don't understand why they want to hurt him, but I want to hurt you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I get it.
You know, and I think Paul Byrd said this on TV last night. Mark Owens was talking about it. There were fans that were... And look, I'm not trying to brand every fan there as someone who tried to do this, but I've heard anecdotally from a couple people, there were a handful of fans that were trying to get on the field during the melee.
Oh, yeah. No. Squid Billy's uncle.
No.
No, that is not true.
And by the way, we don't advocate that. That's not. No. You shouldn't be doing
that's
that.
That's clown behavior.
Shouldn't be doing that.
Unless you can get to Urania before the cops get you.
No.
That's seriously. No, I mean, no
don't
joke.
Do it.
That is clown behavior.
Don't do it.
Totally. Do you really think, you know, Joe in section 122 can settle this better than the guys on the field?
Well, Braves weren't settling anything other than Eric Young. They were all kind of standing there wondering what just happened.
By the way, Eric Young suspended for a game.
From doing what? Being a coat rack at first base?
You tell me.
What'd they give Acuna? Or not Acuna, Urania. What'd they give him?
Bo?
Nothing has came down that I've seen yet for him.
Bull's bull.
Bullcorn. Now,
well,
now by the way,
get a lot.
We just heard from Smoltz. You remember, John is a national announcer. He is, you know, baseball on Fox and everything. I don't know if John wanted to get into that, Carl, that Don Mattingly's a liar. I don't think that was a road that he wanted to go down.
And for his position, yeah, I respect
and
that.
I understand that. It takes a lot of real convincing to get me to think that Don Mattingly was not involved in a 2-13 pitcher making that decision.
No, listen, I asked him the question. I'm going to tell you guys, in my experience, that's what went down. But I respect Smoltz for saying what he said because, again, he's got to deal with these guys on a different level, and that's fine. But Mike and I, we get paid to tell you what the deal is and what we believe, and that's what we believe.
I'll chime in on this, too.
You believe it as well.
Contrary to the belief of the thousands of people tweeting at me last night to remind me I don't know anything about baseball, the one thing that I think I know about baseball is that if a pitcher on the first pitch of the game is throwing at someone and he wasn't in the game the night before, and he's 2-13, he's usually not doing that on his own. Usually. Like 99% of the time, usually.
Yeah, I told a story earlier, Conti, in my experience of talking with guys before games and a guy not liking a particular player on the other team, and you're like, oh, he's in the lineup tonight? And you're like, what's the deal? And then they tell you some backstory, and then you're like, well, what are you going to do? And they'll say, you'll see. And then the game rolls around, and the fourth inning, boop, guy gets hit.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, that's unfortunate. And the announcers go, oh, that got away from him. And you're sitting there laughing because you know what really went down.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff happens. Guys do it all the time. And so, for me, that's veteran guys. This is not a young guy like Urania. I totally think he was ordered. This was a code red, okay?
Well, John Fricke, may I jump in on this, Mike Conti, for a second?
John, you're very upset about this,
well,
by the way. You're seething this morning.
I'll never forget the time. Back to, I was covering the 1903 Boston Americans, Carl.
The Boston
yes,
Americans?
Yes, got to see a young Cy Young on the mound. Mm. Pardon the pun.
Wait. You saw Cy Young pitch?
Yes, he did. And he was amazing. And, of course, the time he beamed old Jimmy Bruxton. Everyone knows what happened. He got the instructions, of course, from his skipper, a young Connie Mack.
Well, Mike.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. Yeah, when Fricky got into that Telegraph beef with Christy Mathewson, a lot of it had to do with the beanball era of the 1910s.
You know, can I tell you one thing? You know who could put high balls away like there's no tomorrow?
Who's that?
Early Wynn.
If you guys are not following this, I'm sorry. Friday's almost here.
For millennials, just look up Hall of Famers.
That's a deep cut.
That's funny.
All right, never mind.
That's funny.
I should have stopped at Tinker's to Everest a Chance last week. All right, back to you, Mike.
So, you know, ESPN, let's get off this. ESPN is dealing with dramatically declining ratings for Monday Night Football and its NFL programming. The Sunday morning show, ratings went way down. Probably because it's not a good show. Ratings went way, way down for the NFL primetime show Sunday night. Monday Night Countdown, which in my opinion is one of the two worst shows that ESPN puts out
What's
every
the other
week.
One? What's the other one?
Oh,
you can say it.
I would be very controversial if I told you what the other one
no,
was.
No, you can say it.
It would
say it.
This is going to get me in more trouble.
Would
than
you
what happened
say
last
it?
Night.
Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it, Mike.
College game day. I know that's blasphemy down here, but I'm going to tell you something. They're doing the same bits they've been doing for 10 years.
It's not fresh.
No.
Okay.
Pollock's my buddy. I can't. I got to recuse myself.
Hold on. I want to be very clear on this.
Right.
David Pollock is not the reason why I say that.
Okay.
Reese Davis is not the reason why I say that.
Mm. Right. I'm with you there.
Okay.
You're right. And
gotcha.
And play-by-play, gotcha. By the way, is supposed to be play-by-play, not a talk show.
Also true.
Gotcha.
Fowler.
I'm going to stay out of that one.
Bo just said a guy tweeted at you and said you should be fine.
Yeah, right.
Actually,
that's the answer to everything.
I mean, actually, this segment's been canceled.
Yeah.
You should be fine.
I almost said a stronger word letter about that Mike content.
But here's the deal.
I think I know the columnist who wrote that, by the way.
but back to your point.
Well, anyhow, yeah. So
Monday night.
Yeah, so the ratings are going way down. There's a report today in the New York Post they're going to bring back Chris Berman.
Right.
To try to help the sagging ratings. Not for the full season, but they might make him work a couple Sundays, try to prop the ratings up a little bit. Not quite sure that's the answer. But
they're saying that Booger McFarland, right, talking about gimmicky, they're going to have him like in an elevated chair, like a director's
You're
chair.
You're going to see that tonight, by the way. They're doing a game tonight, the Redskins-Jets game.
You're
so
absolutely right.
Debut of that.
There's a reason to watch. Booger McFarland, maybe they should hang him from the roof car like Cirque du Soleil.
Well, listen, to Mike's point, they're trying to freshen it up. But listen, can we be real about this? Ultimately, it's all about the personalities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you mentioned it. Pollock, there's some great personalities on that College Game Day show. You just got to freshen it up. And the bits, how about some fresh bits?
And laughing at your own jokes gets tiresome after 1 or 2 years.
All right. Mike Conti, man, controversial.
Mike Conti, media critic. This is a new,
Maybe.
Dabo Sweeney coming up at 6:20. We'll come back top three at 6 next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.